Come in, Lassie. Oh, I tell you, I like this group. Everybody shows up early. Because they want to get out early. Let's see. Owen is in South America, so he won't be here. Beverly and Kenny, I'm sure Kenny will be here shortly. Tom Holman will be here. Lucy said she cannot be here. Chuck is in Michigan.
Celebrating a birthday.
Grandsons, or grandchild, as I understand it.
It's his birthday. His big birthday.
Oh, I thought he said
tell
it was...
me. A big
one. Oh.
I told him 29?
Chuck's out of town. Colin, I'm sure, will be here. Andrew said he was going to be here. Chris will be here a little bit late. And Tom Young said he'll be here. So we're close to everybody being here. And it's a couple of minutes to five. At least three of our steering committee members have to leave here at 6 to go to a function. So if we all stick to the agenda and stay on task, we can be leaving with them and go home today. We'll go ahead and start a few minutes early. And I want to welcome all of you to our second 175th steering committee meeting. I thought the last meeting was really a very productive session, and we've made a lot of progress in the last 2 weeks. And I really appreciate everybody turning around the emails, because you can sure get a lot done in the meetings if you can work some of the issues. I want to recognize a couple of first time committee attendees. Cindy Delaney is the Aiken Chambers representative, and we're delighted to have you and to have active representation from the Chamber of Commerce, Cindy. And I think you'll find this to be a fun, productive group as you get to know them.
Already.
The other new first-time attendee, and she's hiding back there, but KD Justin. KD is recently retired CEO of Aiken Regional, and while Mark will, almost retired.
But who's coming?
Yeah.
How many hours?
Been working 90 a week. We can't get her out of it. Well, fortunately, with her departing the hospital, Mark will be the official representative of the hospital on our steering committee, and that's a very important institution, and I know he'll be able to make a big contribution to this effort. So we're delighted to have the full-time representation of the hospital, and we're particularly pleased to have KD join us, because not only does she bring her CEO experience, running boards and meetings and those kind of things, but she served on a lot of different commissions, and as a result of that, and her contacts in the community and her leadership experience, she'll be invaluable to this committee as we go forward. So, Katie, welcome, and we look forward to having you. I have to tell you, this is really a blue-chip group. I'm very impressed and very, very proud to be associated with you. I think when we finally go public and announce to the community who the steering committee is, I think there will be some eyebrows raised, and some people will say, now that is really a blue-chip group and a good representation of the community. So thank you for serving. One formality I'd just like to kind of bring to a close, and that is the vice chair position. If you recall at the last meeting, after Fred snookered me into being the chairman of the committee, with no one else, everybody else is, looking. And then we tried a couple of trial closes on vice chair, and again, the same thing. So I went home and I said, well, it looks like I'm going to have this honor all by myself. But in talking some other subjects, I was talking with Liz Stewart, and I was asking her for names of potential vice chairs. And she said, well, what's involved in the job? And so I kind of explained what I thought. And so as I indicated in an email, she thought about it. We've talked about it again, and nothing is for certain. I'm in good health and plan to be at all the meetings, but she has looked at her calendar, and as you know, Liz is on a ton of boards and commissions around town. She's got her own business to run, but she's looked at her calendar, and she's made a commitment to do what it takes, providing I don't get crazy, to act as vice chair. And we're indeed fortunate to have somebody with her experience and contacts and energy. Now, the good deal is you get two for the price of one, because she never sleeps. So when I'm asleep, she's working on 175th business, and when she's working on her full-time job, then I'm working on 175th. So we get a lot done that way. So I'd just like to formally ratify Liz, and so it's in the minutes. Liz will be our vice chair, and thank you for agreeing to serve, and I'm looking forward to working with you.
I am too. The only word I have for you is please keep taking those vitamins.
Okay. Richard, when we have the meeting minutes typed up, would you ask whoever types them up to in bold put decisions that we make and next steps we agree to in bold, so that it really kind of jumps out as to what our decisions are. We're going to try to vote on everything so people don't leave here. But what if we really decide, you know, sometimes you can have a circular discussion and you think, I think a decision has been made, but other people say, not, that wasn't the way I remembered it. So we're going to try to discuss the issue, vote, and then move on.
Our ink for bolding words, Bill, is still in the budget.
It's still in the budget. All right. Keep us closely posted on the budget. Okay. In your packet, there are a couple of the first two attachments are for information only. Some people were asking for these. You've got the first thing you see is Aiken's Future, and those were the brainstorming ideas and the people that have expressed interest. And then you go on to the next one, and they're all in there. And you can see the brainstorming ideas and people that have signed up for those various subcommittees. The second thing, it says Aiken's 175th celebration. That's a master list of everybody that's indicated a willingness to serve, what area they're interested in, their phone number, their email address if they have one, and their mailing address. So we will update these periodically. But as you get powered up on your subcommittees, you'll need phone numbers and that kind of stuff. So that's what you have there. The third item in your packet is subcommittee selections. And if you take a minute and look at that, I really want to be sure that folks are comfortable with what they've signed up for. Because does everybody have this subcommittee? When we had our first session, some people were under the impression that they were supposed to just lift the sign for anything they were kind of interested in. But now that you have an idea of what work, come in, Tom. Right up here. Last one is, you know, in school when the bad boy had to, or girl had to come out and sit by the teacher.
Sorry.
This is incentive for being perfect. Well, this is also Tom Young Jr.'s first meeting, and I want to welcome him. A very busy young man, a very talented young man, and we're delighted to have you.
Appreciate it.
Tom will not be able to be at all of our sessions because he has another small part-time job that keeps him up in Columbia part of the time. And here comes Chris Vereens. You're not late because you have an excuse tardy.
Yeah, and should have reported that.
Thank you.
So I apologize.
No, that's, you said you're probably going to be late. We're on the third page in your packet, and we need to talk about committee assignments or selections. If you look, we've got an imbalance. We've got a very, very strong group on the first quarter. And we've got 11 subcommittee, almost half the subcommittee, signed up to be on the first quarter. And as you can see, we're a little light on some of the others. Nobody wants to be with me on fundraising, so I understand why. But if there's anybody that has any flexibility to move to another subcommittee that, you know, where we have two or three or one, it would certainly be appreciated by the people on that subcommittee. Now, we want to balance people's interests and needs with the needs of the committee and the project. But if any of you have any flexibility, please let me know, and we will move you to another subcommittee.
As far as the publicity committee goes, I think I'm fine.
So. Okay. All right. Are you saying you want me on this?
No, I mean, I've got you, and I've got 18 other very talented people, so I'm fine.
You're fine.
If anybody else wants to get on it, that's okay.
Okay, that's good perspective. So I'll just leave it on this basis. Email me, call me, let me know if anybody is interested in moving off of the first quarter committee to another committee. Next order of business is to finalize our meeting dates, and I have a correction right off the bat. On your agenda page at the bottom, it says our next meeting is the first page, Tom.
There you go.
It says next meeting is Monday, April 6th. That's wrong. It's 2 weeks. It's April 24th. I mean, March 24th at 5 o'clock.
Tuesday.
Well, there's a calendar back there. Let's just look for it.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Bill, and that was going to be in room 204 because this building will be, this room is being used by the Board of Zoning Appeals. We'll actually be in room 204.
204 downstairs?
It's right next door.
Right next door.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Where's the
absolute? It's right next door.
And the time again is?
5 o'clock. So I apologize for that correction. I'm going to jump on you. Back at the back of your packet is a master calendar. For those of you that kind of want a master calendar. And that has the dates of our meetings that we went out to you and said, how do these look? And for the most part, people said they're okay, but I mean, there's exceptions here and there. You know, somebody can't make this meeting or somebody can't make that meeting. But these are the meetings that we have lined up through July 21st. And so what we're going to need to do over the next couple of meetings or so is to establish meetings out so we can get everybody's calendar, you know, well out toward the end of the year. So are there any dates, any day of the week at 5 o'clock that is just totally out of the question for any of you? So that I know when I send you a series of dates.
Thursdays, yeah.
Thursdays? Okay. All right. So we'll try to work on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
I might delay a few Tuesdays because the railroad committee, they talk forever. And that's from 4 to 5. It's supposed to be.
Okay.
So if somebody brings up anything about railroads, we'll be there till 6:30.
Okay. All right.
And Bill, as I mentioned before, any meetings other than when the railroad committee meets, that we can use our conference room if we have problems here. I have a problem with one of the meetings because of his group meetings. So other than that, if you run into a problem, if you want to, you can use our conference room.
Thank you, Chris. We'll try to let
you.
Okay, so I will get So Richard, just indicate that I will get a list of proposed dates out to folks, and it will not be a Thursday. What feels right to you? Twice a month for a while until we kind of get a rhythm here, and then we can always cancel. If we see today we didn't need a meeting in 2 weeks, we just say let's scrub it. Does that feel okay to everybody, about every 2 weeks? Okay. Okay, subcommittee, quarterly subcommittee guidelines, should be about the fourth item in your packet. There's some blue. This reflects the good thinking that you folks sent back to me on the original guidelines. And we need to ratify these before the subcommittees start meeting next week. You've all had a chance to look at them. The one that really kind of jumped out, and I flagged it in my email to you, was there was some concern about how do you define a major established community event, and how do you not risk offending some other worthwhile causes by saying we're not going to tie in with you. And after looking at it and thinking about it and the risk versus the reward, I just wanted to put out for you a consideration that we not try, at least on an organized basis, tie in at the steering committee level with any of the established events. And if the quarterly event, a quarterly subcommittee, feels like there are events in their quarter that's theme-based and it makes sense and there's a mutual interest, then that quarterly subcommittee would have the authority to pursue that. Because ultimately, we get them all back and we'll look at a master calendar. So that was one thing I wanted to at least put on the table for discussion and see if there's a consensus. Other than that, is there anything that you saw in the proposed guidelines based on your input that either you have questions on or you want to raise as far as an issue?
I just want to organize the subcommittee, get select a chairman, et cetera.
You're looking at him.
Okay.
I think for continuity purposes, and Liz and I will kind of tag team this, but for example, next week, we're going to have a joint meeting next Wednesday of the first quarter subcommittee and the special events subcommittee, because those are the first ones out of the chute. And the first quarter subcommittee is really critical because that's what's going to set the tone, you know, for the rest of the year in terms of the events and the buzz in the community and everything. And also, they're going to serve as kind of a working model for the other subcommittees on how to get up and get started and what they would do differently and what worked and that kind of thing. So we will have a joint meeting in this room of those two subcommittees. We'll explain the project. We'll go over the guidelines. We will talk about, we've already alerted them to future meeting dates to start trying to get calendars synchronized. And then we will elect a chair. And then I will probably run the rest of the meeting just to get through it, and then they will meet, you know, and get started on their work. So that's kind of the way you see it. And then the rest of the subcommittees, except for publicity, the other three quarterly subcommittees, I'll get them together probably 2 weeks after that in a joint meeting, based on our learning from this meeting next week, and get them powered up. Steve, he's done wonders with his publicity committee. He's already brimming. He's got too many good people already. A lot of good ideas. And you're going to have a meeting pretty soon.
It's the 18th, but either myself or my partner needs to be at this joint. Somebody from the publicity committee needs to know what's going on with everybody. So we'd like to go to that.
Sure.
When is that?
The 18th, okay. 4:30 in this room.
And then publicity is the 18th. I have it down. I have it here.
So does that answer your question, Ron?
Yes.
The finance and fundraising committee, when we get it organized, we get people, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but that'll be a separate kind of an animal anyhow, because they'll be doing something very different, kind of like the publicity. So, yes?
I have a question here. The one that has to do with setting the budget. And I apologize about here for the last meeting, but are there some guidelines as far as, is there an overall budget? Is there an earmark for each quarter? I mean, let's face it, you can spend infinite amount, but obviously we don't have it. So has there been a predetermined budget for this project?
No, Katie, but that's an excellent question. We have some seed money from the city. What I hope is that we don't have to use that, or if we do, we'll pay it back, through, and that we can earn our way through fundraising. And I'll talk about that in a minute, because I know everybody says, oh, man, if I go asking for money, you know, people see me coming and they run the other direction. I think we can do fundraising in a way that we don't have that. That can be a lot of fun, and people want to contribute, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But the way that I sort of see this happening right now, and this is going to be refined as we go along, but the committee, subcommittees will decide kind of what their events are going to be, or want them to be, and as part of that, they'll have to figure out what it's going to cost to put this event on, because you can't just say, well, we want to do this, but we don't know how much it's going to cost. Then each of the subcommittees will come back about the end of June, that's kind of what we're thinking right now, with a recommended plan, events, dates, some details, including here's a ballpark estimate on what we think this thing would cost. We'll get that from all of the subcommittees. We'll look at a calendar and say, you know, is it balanced, not balanced? We got too many events here or whatever. And what's the total estimated cost of all these things? At the same time, we're going to have this finance and fundraising committee coming up with some ideas on how we can raise some money. And I'm going to talk about those in a minute. But
okay, so the development of the budget is pretty much what's...
It's in
reasonable,
flux.
Reasonable, but... Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything in these guidelines that you talked about that you would prefer that none of the events have a charge for, or would you consider charging for some of the events? I mean, I don't even know what the events would be, but I didn't know if the guidelines you pretty much want to say it's really free and open, we're not going to charge for anything, or it's okay if you want to suggest...
I think we have to look at those on a case-by-case basis.
Is the preference to have it just open and free?
The preference is to be as inclusive, community-inclusive as possible, to have maximum participation, and we want to have some balance, I think, of mostly free events. Okay. There may be some that, you know, because of the circumstances, there needs to be a charge, and but we have to. I think we'll deal with that on a case by case basis. If that makes sense.
What the philosophy was.
Yeah. Does that sound right to you folks, or is there, Bill?
Well, when we talked about established community events, I was thinking in terms of not for profit events, like, you know, all the like all the equestrian activities. You have the, you know, the Triple Crown. That's a not-for-profit event. So if we co-brand it, you know, this is the 175th celebration. In addition to, it's the 56th running of the Aiken Trials. So we get our logo in, and that looks a lot of cost to us to be in something that's already an established, but it's a not-for-profit, as opposed to saying Progressive Show Jumping has a jump out here, and it's going to be a two-way show. But that's a for-profit operation.
But it both so, costs someone to participate.
Well, that's right. Our goal is to get the word out about our celebration. So if we hitchhike on something that's got a lot of, you know, things out there, but I would just say, you know, that's what I'm thinking of an event that's already occurring that we could, you know, ask them to, you know, we don't ask for anything so much from them except, say, in your publication and in your, you know, this is a, you have our 175th logo down there, and it kind of gets the awareness out that we're celebrating 175 years.
Billy, I think first we've got to decide whether we want to go, whether we want to go after mutual partnerships with some of these events. There's upsides and downsides, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it would seem to me that if I was on the first quarter, I would like to have as much control over that quarter's events as I can and not have some other group off working things that may or may not happen, because I'm thinking again of the first quarter, and you're under the gun, and you need to decide what those items are going to be, and you don't need to be waiting for the steering committee to be off seeing if the Battle of Aiken wants to participate, because if they do, then that's going to limit what you can do around that time and so forth. So I would be inclined to let the quarterly subcommittees decide what the right mix is. And they're going to come back to us anyhow, and we're going to look at it, listen to their rationale, and then say, that looks about right, or this, you know, we don't. So that's really, I think, what we're trying to get at here is, do we want to let the quarterly subcommittees deal with these major established community events on their own, or do you want an orchestrated, coordinated event from this this committee off doing that? And before you answer that, go back a couple of pages in your packet, and there's a calendar there that says community events. And what that shows you is, by quarter, what our theme is, and then our two bookend events, the kickoff in January and the birthday party in December, and listed underneath are what I consider to be major and minor events that I got off of all these calendars that may or may not be theme related. So you can kind of see what we're dealing with there in terms of established community events, and most of these are fundraising events. And I think we got to be really careful in today's economic environment that these events don't feel threatened by us to the degree that they don't see us as competing for their sponsor dollars, and they're going to feel better about supporting us. And so that's going to come back around to this fundraising thing I'm going to talk about in a minute. But you look at all these events, and their first quarter and the second quarter are pretty packed. And so I guess the question I'd like to put to the group is, now that you can see what's out there, and there's others that we don't know about, or I haven't listed because they're not established well enough, do we want the quarterly subcommittees to deal with the major events and whether they ought to be in this or not? So could we have a little discussion on that issue? Billy has given his thoughts.
Billy, were you talking about participating in that, or are you just talking advertising with them, not really doing anything so they would tell us what to do? You were talking more about advertising, weren't you?
I was thinking that, yeah. You know, that we'd share our logo and branding,
yes,
with events like that, and not expect a lot of money from them.
Partnering.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, that's what's important, but as a...
advertisement?
Yeah, well, we want to raise awareness to this. And again, to the degree that I would say, if you had to differentiate between what type of events we want to be involved with, you'd say not for profit, things we want to, and if it's something for profit, if somebody set up something that's making money, I'm not sure we want to be associated with that so much. But things like the steeplechase and the, you know, those are all community fundraisers that the money stays in the community, and those are 501c3 kinds of organizations. I think that's the kind of thing that we want to be. The train depot, that's the kind of thing. If they have any kind of ribbon cutting or, you know, launch or whatever milestone they can reach, then we do, you know, we partner up so we can help get the word out to help their, you know, let's help.
But Billy, that doesn't preclude the quarterly subcommittees working that.
That's right.
That arrangement out.
That's right. But I'm saying if we're to give guidance to those quarterly subcommittees. We would say, in general, focus on things that are not for profit. If you're going to link up with some other activity or event, just focus on the ones that are not for profit. That would I think, and there's enough of them. I think just about everything on this list, maybe outside of the state fair, but then that's probably not for profit too. But I think that's a JC kind of a project. So
if mostly what we're talking about is just getting our logo on their promotional material, that's great, as long as we're not spending a lot of time trying to organize what they've already heard.
Right.
Or how about us? Are we going to have to put their logo in our materials?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
Has there been a discussion about having sort of a general stash of things like where we have our logo flags, having 175th logo flag done that would fly all year round?
Yes, sir.
Sort of remind everybody of it. And setting up a couple of banners and things and identify those activities where we would approach someone to maybe just have it to remind someone. So
Cindy Pierce's.
We're not near as far down the road as you're thinking, though.
I think that it would, my thought in this process is that at this particular level, it might be good to establish more of which groupings you just want to have the logos and things and flags flown into, as opposed to having each group approach them separately. That way we could sort of overlay it and we could see for the entire year how it would be displayed and what it would be displayed at, and it would look a little more uniform. And then allow the subcommittees to set up the activities you're going to do and not worry about the general overlay. That would be my thought on this.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. But
Bob?
Well, I think that a lot of these things have been here a long time, and after we have our 175th, they're going to be here a long time. So we have to keep that in mind. And just having them recognize this is all part of the 175th, without any strings attached, they would probably appreciate that, the majority of them anyway, than us trying to interfere in their structure and their organization that they've had. Now, if they came and asked for some help, then I think this should be decentralized back to the subcommittees that are running that quarter to see what they would want to do and so on. I think the subcommittees ought to go ahead and do the contacting that Katie wants and then bring it back and so it can be arranged that she'd like to see it. As opposed to us, without talking to any of them, face-to-face, there will be a lot of them that have to be done, and the subcommittees could probably do that better because it's a smaller number for them than the whole group. But I agree with what she's saying. We got to get it from a big picture, and the steering committee should have the vote to say yes or no.
And I think if we invest in X number of banners or this or that, the other kind of stuff that we know what we want put around town for different events, then we can sort of know go to it.
We can do that. I mean, we can the publicity folks can come up with banners and flags and things like that we can offer, as part of the partnership. But I think the key issue is, are we willing to put their logos in our material if we're asking them to put our logos in their material and fly our banners?
Bill. Maybe off base because I wasn't at the first meeting, but I envisioned a souvenir booklet that one can keep. And in that souvenir booklet, you would have logos. You'd have to pay for your logos to be in that booklet, whatever. But you'd have that booklet, but as you do things quarterly, each quarter could list the names of those organizations or companies, whatever, that supported it. But the souvenir booklet, it would be a nice keepsake with logos.
Okay. I apologize. This is your first meeting. I saw you Tuesday night at another meeting, so I would say, yeah, Leslie was here last time. Welcome. Okay.
That's just a thought.
That's a good fundraiser idea.
Yeah.
Because people would want to have, it just happens to be the 175th, but this is what we did last year.
Right.
And these were all the community activities, and I think that could be a real...
Okay, but help us out here. Where are we, is there a consensus on when we go to these organizations and say, would you like to partner? You know, we'd like you to fly our flag and put our logo in your printed material. And they say, well, are you going to put our logo in your printed material? Do we say yes?
What printed material?
Well, right now, I mean, we don't have some, but we're not that far. We'll have newspaper ads.
The one that we leave out will be upset, right? The one that we don't go, if we decide, if we look at all this stuff.
The souvenir booklet would have each quarter of activities listed. You can list those names, but if you want a souvenir page in the booklet, you have to.
Oh, I see what you're saying, a quarterly souvenir booklet. That's
No. Thinking of one
end of the year.
Nice.
At the end of the year,
yes.
We would recognize those organizations that partnered with us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's an idea.
Maybe the word partner is strong. If you say participate with us, that does not mean you have to do something back. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if they want to be, if they want to recognize the 175th at the Triple Crown event, does not mean that we've gotten to do something on the Triple Crown event in ours.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not really 50-50 partner kind of thing.
Say that again.
I'm saying if the Triple Crown events wanted to recognize the 175th anniversary, the Chamber of Commerce want to recognize it at their annual meeting, does not mean, because they're participating with us in that, recognizing the event instead of us doing something in return back.
Interfering with, I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
We were interfering with their event.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to take over their event.
If we don't stay with events, if we just think about just trying to make a blanket promotion to all these events, that they participate in recognizing Aiken's 175th birthday, not necessarily that linking to us, but just linking the global overarching birthday.
Not the word partner.
Right.
Who is going to have responsibility for contacting all of these organizations, large and small, and saying, would you like to participate?
It could be done through the publicity.
Because it needs to be thematic. I mean,
yes.
In the first quarter,
if it doesn't fit,
yeah, if it doesn't fit, you wouldn't do it.
Right. That's true, sir.
I see a lot of heads nodding.
But each quarter should make a list of the ones that they would recommend be included in this.
Right.
It depends on what's in their quarter.
Well, that's right. I mean, right. Horses, they would want the horse ones, and, you know, if it was just something completely different, then...
I think it's about community spirit, not what's in it for me, the company, or me, the organization. And I think that that's the approach we take, because it is community spirit.
But we've just got to be sure that the subcommittees understand that when you reach out to certain organizations that have functions in that quarter that are consistent with your theme, and somebody else comes to you and wants to participate, but it's off theme, we're going to have to say, I'm sorry, but it's not consistent with our theme, and run the risk of offending somebody. That's
why is it inappropriate for, or let's just pick something to make it reasonable. Okay, garden show. Let's say that was in the first quarter. It has nothing to do with history, horses, whatever. And they said we would really like, well, we've seen the banner, we've been at a thing, we'd be proud to display that banner at our... Why would we not say absolutely? Why does it have to follow the theme? I think the theme are the events that we're planning. I think if anyone is having an event and wants to have a banner up that says celebrating the 175th, well, we should say thank you, that's wonderful, please do so, we'll make sure it's delivered to you on time.
Katie, the only reason I guess I can think of that we make us pause is that ultimately we're going to have a year-long calendar that we're going to publish to the community that's going to say, you know, here are the theme, the quarterly themes, here are the events. You know, on the 17th of March, we're going to have a tour of old homes in Aiken, and that's part of the high society, you know, something. So we're ultimately going to have to list all of these, and so these folks would have to understand that they may not be listed.
But They may not be listed correct.
That's right.
That's not the issue. The fact is that they're simply saying, Aiken, happy 175th birthday. And so people go to the garden show and go, oh, yeah. And maybe that's where the only thing we ask them to do is have maybe a copy of one page of all the items that are happening that quarter. So they then pass them out and say, these are the events that are specifically celebrating it. But I mean, the more people that just simply say, happy Aiken, happy 175th birthday, perhaps, I don't know, I'm not part of the publicity committee, but perhaps that just makes them aware enough to look for our events.
Okay.
I have to agree with Katie, because that's where I was going with that overarching thing. I think if we step back for a moment and say, what are the purpose of all these events, it's to create this community-wide celebration of our 175th birthday. And so I guess if I'm understanding you, I'm with you that we need to be promoting that this be promoted everywhere.
The first
thing, I can see us doing something at Rotary, or I can see us, I mean,
that's why I didn't like a partner. You don't have to partner.
No, if we look at it, that these, I don't think we'll run into that partnership problem if we just think of it as these events are very specific promotions and celebrations through this organization. However, the spirit is to get the entire community in their own ways to celebrate their 175th birthday.
Even if the garden club is not the first quarter or the second quarter or whatever.
Right.
They're still part of the community.
And that's what I was envisioning, and that's what I'm hearing KB say as well.
I see the banner all over the community.
Yeah, I do too.
Like when you walk into the Aiken Mall, there's a big banner. It doesn't have to be related to any specific.
Okay.
I think it would be Steve's responsibility to explain what this committee and everybody else are doing by quarters in terms of recognizing different kinds of things, and the rest of them are there. That's a community spirit that we're talking about. They're all just out there happy for the 175th.
Mm-hmm. We can have the events that are pertaining to that quarter as a list of the pertaining events, and then also reference or also part, not partnering, also participating, and you can put the other things up. Don't have anything to do with it.
Let me see if there's a consensus here then. Are we comfortable with we let the subcommittees approach those events, established events that are consistent with their theme that they would like to invite to participate in that quarter's program? And we will also have a second level of participation for anybody that would be interested in celebrating and joining in this thing, whether it's a one-time event like the garden show or a banner at Aiken Mall all year long. No strings attached. We just provide that banner or whatever it is. Is that kind of word?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How many of you are familiar with Spoleto publication? You see how, even though that's quicker to long, they have all of their events. You make your choice, you take your choice as to what you want to go to what day. And then they publish all this, and then they have the advertisement there too. So it serves dual purposes. Gives you a wide selection. We're talking about quarter, we're talking about a year on here. But it also helps to support the effort as well. So that was the kind of track I was getting down with having something that serves a dual purpose.
It's not events with rules.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah. And I do think we just have to be a little careful of overexposure, because it'll be new and exciting the first, second, quarter, or third.
Yeah.
And we don't want to die out before
that. Well, and we're also going to have to.
So the one-time events, let's say that the Heart Show wanted to have something. Okay, that's just a one-time event. I think the flags, if that's what we can afford to want to do, it would be nice. But I would hate to see banners for a whole year. They would be tattered. They would look really dreary by June and July. So I think that we need a balance of not overexposure with
and cost. I mean, we got to figure out what the cost of all this is going to be. So
it does come back to the subcommittee.
Yeah, and ultimately,
maybe they pay for the journal.
Yeah, each subcommittee will take up a donation, you know, and pay for their own banner.
Is that it? Well, that's
it. Or each event will pay for their own banner.
Well, first of all, you have to get a city council.
Oh, okay. Somehow, if you and Fred can't get it done, it can't get done. Okay, let's move on. That was a good discussion. I think we captured what we wanted to capture on that. That was a decision, by the way. That'll be in bold.
Bill, may I say something?
Sure.
You said several times, if it follows the theme, we might not pardon it, but
Participate.
I think the only drawback I would possibly see about everybody getting involved, I think you'll have a lot of people coming and getting involved. I think there'll be more that want to get involved, perhaps, than you might like, but it is, be careful, because once you start agreeing, then you can't disagree with any of the others. How are you going to say no to someone, some group? I'm not going to say any particular group. It might possibly be something that would come up that we'd say, I'm not so sure we want, I won't say anything. On there. There may be.
I can imagine kind of groups you. Did I interrupt you?
No, you go ahead.
To what you're referring, I just think at some point we'll probably have to make, I think we'll just make another decision, or we'll debate it here, and we'll have to make that decision, because I can see that happening too, but I think we're just going to have to make a decision. And I think we'll come up to a reason, the folks around here,
the committee
reason,
just decided.
I really do. I think you're right. Potentially, but if it comes up, we just have to decide here, I think, Mayor.
On the other hand, we never turned down anyone that wanted to parade down the road, have a sign permit and all that. No matter what group it was, it never been disallowed to do that. They couldn't stay in a place all day, night, what have you, on that parks or anything like that, but they could have a parade permit.
They never won the parade, but they got the parade.
That's all inclusive.
Well, that's...
I mean, that's part of what the state does.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that it's something that could possibly come up that might be. I might have some discussion.
I have a feeling there are going to be a lot of things. We're going to learn as we go along.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to move on now, if I can, to this the Finance Fund Committee, Finance Fundraising Subcommittee Staffing Rules. All right. As I said, I think, and I see a lot of head nodding when I was talking about this, the organized, established events in the community, some of them could be very leery of what kind of an impact we may have on their event and their sponsors and so forth. If we go out and we are actively soliciting sponsors, I'd like to put an idea out on the table. And it's an idea, not necessarily a good idea, but I saw it work with Horseplay. And that is souvenir merchandise, mementos. We netted after paying for all of our materials, and we had calendars that we didn't sell, we netted $50,000 in 6 months on the Horseplay project. There was a lot of excitement, but we had, you know, coffee mugs, t-shirts. I can't tell you how many t-shirts we sold. We had caps, you know, we had cocktail glasses. We had that available the first night. We had our preview party. We had it available for sale at our public unveiling, and then we had a booth out at the Fall Steeplechase, and we sold $22,000 worth of Horseplay merchandise in the first 15 hours it was available for sale. This is a year-long project. It's a one-time deal. And one thing we may think about is whether or not we want to really look carefully at offering 175th Memento merchandise for sale and what that might mean to us from an income standpoint. If we're successful enough, we wouldn't have to go out and ask anybody for any money. But on the other hand, I'm sure that there are some civic-minded businesses in this town that would like to be associated, you know, with and be willing to pay from their marketing budget, you know, to be listed as a sponsor of the 175th. We could consider that. But in the meantime, what we would be selling the souvenir merchandise, we could, you know, possibly offer it for sale through retail shops here in Aiken, so they it helps them in a down economy. There's all kind of ways we can do this. We could have focus groups of a cross section of the community, have them in and ask them what items they would be interested in buying and what price points. And so from that you can get a pretty good idea of, you know, 20% of the people are interested in buying a t-shirt if it's $10 or less, you know, and that kind of thing. And so I could see the fundraising committee being a marketing committee as opposed to going out and asking for money. We have two wonderful opportunities that have come to us that we're going to have to figure out how to deal with it, because we'll have other ideas. But Richard is working on a commemorative book that would be for sale all year long of the 175th. Jim Harrison, a very popular author, artist, is, I guess, interested in doing some special things for the 175th. And I'm very vague on this because we haven't talked other than just general interest. But he has done some things for other organizations that sold out. I think, didn't he do a calendar for your bank, or he's a Coca-Cola calendar?
He may have done it before my time. We do promote his calendar every Christmas time in concert with USCA and for fundraising for USCA. We did have him when we opened up our Lexington branch about 3 or 4 years ago, where he autographed some of his little prints, and people were standing in line. So he's typically very amenable to something like this, and B, I think in this part of the country, for sure, I think it would be a pretty hot commodity.
So, yeah, and
I just he did some things with the chamber when we did our building, you know. He did a print for that, the Centech Station, mm-hmm. Some of y'all might remember that. He also did one of South Boundary. So normally what he does for Aiken sells out, because he's got a pretty good following here. And I just happened to have, when I knew that was coming up, I knew I just had an old file that I couldn't throw away. So.
You keep bringing those old files to us.
So there's a bunch of stuff in here. If you're not familiar with his work, this is done in 2004. But he just takes Spanish in America.
So, you know, we've got two ideas, and somehow or other, they're going to be more. They're going to be coming to us, and we've got to have a mechanism to deal with those, and how many can we handle, and which ones, you know, that type thing. But my vision is, it wouldn't be a fundraising committee, it'd be a marketing committee. And it'd be a lot of fun, because I've done it, and I know how much fun it is. You know, the night we have the kickoff in January, you have all of this stuff for sale there, and people will be so excited, you know, because that's when it goes on sale, and it'll be 1 year, and then that's it. Bob?
Yeah, I go back to Katie's point, you know, the budget, because it's hard to do that. It's hard to get your hands around it, the infancy of all the committees and so on. But if you had some kind of idea for all of these that the subcommittees are going to put on, then you can get a feel as to what your budget might have to be, and then that can determine. I like the idea of the marketing better than going out and asking. Everybody's asking everybody in this town.
All right.
I understand that very well now. and so it would be a much more easier way and a polite way. They're getting something, but we're making the profit on the thing, and they're going to want to buy it. And they're doing it without being pushed. So it's a much better way of doing it. Although I would say, on these recognized things that we already have, if you try to sell your stuff there, there's going to be complaints that we took their money for our stuff. We should only do it, I think, in the events that we are actually organizing and running for the 175th.
Bob, you're right, except for Steeplechase, they sell booths. And so you've got retailers out there, yeah, so that booth is fine. But you're
Aiken's within the criteria. Like
and maybe Aiken's making, clearly you wouldn't want to do it if you were going to, you know, cause ill will or anything like that. But it would be with, you know, with their permission, and if retailers wanted to be involved in this, we'd have to figure out some kind of a cost structure. You know, I could see, for example, we got some vacant buildings around downtown Aiken, and maybe one of those owners would be willing to loan us that building for a year to be the center for all this stuff, and we can put all these T-shirts and all our inventory and dress up the building a little bit, and that's where you sell this
stuff. That would be getting people into that building you want us to sell or rent.
Right. Or you know, another way of doing it is we have some central location, but we make stuff available on consignment to any retailer that, you know, wants it. Or we sell it to them, or that's all stuff to be worked out. But it can be done if you pick the right items and you put the right price on them, and you watch your inventories carefully so that you're not, as you work your way to the end of the year and everybody's pretty well bought all they want, you don't want to be like we got caught with calendars that were out of date, so we gave them away. But that's an idea that if we want to pursue that, it's a different direction than kind of we were thinking about. So in the next 7 minutes or so, let's open that up for discussion, other fundraising ideas.
I like that idea, but I go back to the quarter of the subcommittee guidelines, because one of the things in there said the subcommittee will not be responsible for raising funds for their events unless they wish to. I guess my thing, if you were raising funds and you had corporate sponsors, you wouldn't want a subcommittee to ask for $1,000 when some whole committee was thinking $5,000. And you wouldn't want to go back to the same people over and over, mm-hmm. you know, again. Mm-hmm. So somehow, if the subcommittee wants to raise their own funds, it needs to come back here with some sort of proposal.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Along those same lines, I like the part of I haven't asked for money, but having said that, I believe most of the major businesses here, even though we are all tapped out with other questions, I think to be one of the 10 official sponsors or whatever would do it. So I'm not saying let's go do that, but if we're in dire need of money, I think what you propose will work. But I do believe a lot of these businesses, especially, we're looking at a year from now, right?
Right, so getting their budgets.
And that's why I didn't want it to ask for too little.
Right.
If you're thinking something, a bigger sponsorship instead of, you know, that'd be something for the committee to look at.
And I agree with Chris. Yeah. You've got 10 to 12 major businesses that would probably right. want to come out.
And we need a budget for the first quarter, and we won't raise the marketing money until the grand opening, so maybe we need some of that money to fund the first quarter to have our budget.
We can name 10 quickly. And there were probably more than that.
Okay. You need to talk to KD within 2 weeks.
Yeah. In the next 6 minutes.
Or Mark after that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, that's great insight, because that gives us some confidence that if we put together our good story, you know, I don't mind going out and, you know, and with some of you open the door, you know, I'll go in and pitch, and so we could have that income for sponsors, and then that'll give us the latitude to work this other thing if that's the wishes of the subcommittee.
The vehicle for this, I really like the idea of having at the end of the program all the different partners or participants. But these would be all the cultural activities that makes Aiken so unique. So we could, in effect, sell this book, advance sell it. It'll be published 6 months or a year after the event of all the things that took place. So we asked the participants to say, what we want is an article for our book. And if you'd like to make a contribution and be in the book, that's where the 10 corporations' names would appear. And then they've got a keepsake. That's something the chamber can sell or give out or however you want to. You know, it looks like almost like a chamber magazine, maybe, or a coffee table
format. The book that you were thinking of putting together, we don't need two books. So
no.
He mentioned the book.
The book that I've been in discussions with, and I think we've got the cost of organizing the book but it would be the publication of the book. Jenny Southport is very willing to take photographs of Aiken, and it would be compiled as more of kind of an artistic work of her photographs. And that's something that could be available this fall, so that you could sell the books and, of course, cover the cost of printing the books out of the sales and then divide up the net proceeds to give the committee some, you know, operating capital.
Katie, you're on to something that's really important here, and that is, how do we decide what fundraisers and what, you know, projects we're going to have, and how we're going to spend the money? Because Billy's got a great project that he wants, you know, us to consider, and we've got some others. And I think what we have to do, and maybe the what we're calling the fundraising committee, I think we need to get that committee organized and charge them with coming up with guidelines or a checklist for what kind of projects, how we raise the money, and the projects, whether it's a book or whatever it is, so that everybody, it's all laid out there. Here's how much it's going to cost. Here's how much we can sell it for. Here's how much, you know, our potential profit could be. So we're not being, you know, we don't have all these things coming along, you know, over time, and we don't know how to deal with them. I think there needs to be an organized process. They flow through, for lack of a better term, this fundraising committee. They make a recommendation to the steering committee, not only on what we do to raise money, but how we're going to spend that money. Because what Billy's proposing and what Sissy Brody had proposed has got to be part of the budget. We've got to look at that and say, here's what it's going to cost us, and here are all these other things. And Billy, if I could ask you to hold that idea for the next meeting. No, you've got a great idea, but we're pushing up against time. And we need to consider that in the context of all the other ideas.
Can I have 1 minute?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. There's a horse watering trough behind the courthouse. And it should be over at Elliott's by the serpentine wall, where the horses could get a drink of water out of it. It's obviously an antique, it's a beautiful horse trough that could be used, and it's on county property, can be moved to county property. I think we could find within the horse community people that would pay to have it down there, so the horses coming in and out of Hitchcock Woods would have access to water, and the carriages could come by and stop and have water. And it's right now, it's not being used for anything but a big ashtray for the smokers who are outside the courthouse. So I thought there would also be a vehicle that we could put a plaque to show the 175th committee and what we did and what we accomplished. So it would be a tangible thing at the end of the process. And
you could be a good pilot project for us in terms of how we would like to see projects brought to us. If you could come back to us with, here's about how much money it would cost to do this, here are the people that would contribute goods and services, and here's how much I think I might be able to raise from the, you know, the equestrian community, the net cost to the 175th would be X.
Yeah.
And then it's easy for us to look at that. If it's going to cost us $5, that's an easy decision.
Yeah.
If it's $5,000, then we might have to look at
right. And I almost look at something like this, almost like a fundraiser. I think this could bring more money in than it would cost to add, and it would help. You know, it would be something that needs to be done. That's a piece of history that's languishing out there in the back of the parking lot. We could put it to use. So,
well,
I'll
Bob,
would you through with yours before you're
yes.
going up? I trust Chris's statement, you know, and unless he said he can identify that the people will be the sponsors. Again, I'm a little bit leery. What I'd like to see is anybody in this town would belong to the chamber, right? And so there's a newsletter that goes out and make sure everybody had the opportunity to be a major sponsor. If interested, please call. And then you go to the 10 that you all would like to, and then they can never come back and be heard, well, they didn't come to me and I would have done it, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So I'm thinking of trying to look for ways that
we'll keep
it happy in the community.
We'll make that point in the newspaper story as well.
Yeah, good point though. Listen,
is there consensus that we want to at least pursue and, or investigate this, this merchandise idea? Okay. As a committee of one, I need some help. Now, I can either go get it. Okay, Kathy? Well, now, you're already liaison on two different subcommittees.
That's okay. I don't sleep either.
All right. Great. Anybody else want to help me on this? Thank you.
I'll work with you, Bill.
These are all good, though.
Fundraising.
All right, Colleen, Chris, Leslie, Elliot.
All right.
Thank you. You made my day. Now, to make your day, as you're getting ready to walk out, I want Steve to show you just some first cuts at a logo Tim Sears has been working on. And boy, this is exciting. And we'll have some great choices.
To Katie's point, the first thing we thought of we needed right away was to start working on a logo. And so our subcommittee is going to go over. Cindy, we met with Richard and Cindy Pierce and my partner, Sarah Ethan. And Cindy's already come back with some really interesting things. And we're going to sit down with her soon. Yeah, it's just a little bit of different types of place.
Here's so, I got extra hands.
There you go. So she's come up with several themes, and I'm going to get back to Cindy.
I like colors.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then most people really like these.
Celebrated.
And then most people really like this one best, with the people on it.
Yeah.
So, if you printed that in small, it might be too busy. You wouldn't be able to tell other people. But it's something like one of these is pretty popular. So we're going to get, on the 18th, the committee will review these and talk to Cindy, and we'll come up with, the artist will come up with something nice. And then we'll bring it back to the steering committee for approval.
Right.
Okay. So Katie, that's the first thing we were thinking of, is we need a logo, we need an image. Yeah.
Okay. But ultimately, the steering committee will approve the final logo. But they're often working on it, and so we're beginning to see the fruits of our labor already.
Okay.
Is there anything else that needs to come before us, before our distinguished committee members have to leave, go to another function?
One quick question.
Sure.
Is the kickoff not coming before the first quarter event? You were talking to me the other day.
No, we're thinking early. Is early in January that we can do the kickoff.
So it would proceed the first quarter.
Mm. Well, no. So it would be in the first quarter.
In the first quarter. Okay.
At the beginning of the quarter.
Calendar-wise, it'd be in the first quarter, but it ought to be the first event,
of the
put it in the easy part. All right.
Okay, folks, thank you. We got this done in an hour and 5 minutes. We made a lot of progress. More later.